Hi there and welcome. We have a number of participants just joining us right now. So we'll wait a few minutes. In the meantime, I'm going to put a quick poll out there and just ask you to, it's all anonymous, to indicate what role you have in your organization, if you wouldn't mind. You go. Thank you, everybody, for just indicating what you do for your organizations. We're going to wait a few minutes. It is just a few minutes here to let people log on. People usually log on a few minutes late. This will take about a half hour plus whatever Q&A, questions and answers. There is a Q&A button. Please use that if you have a question during the presentation, and I will answer that as we go through. There, I believe there's also a chat button. If there is, do not use that one because I don't see that, but use the question and answer button, and at the end, we'll ask for questions and answers as we go. So just waiting a few more minutes here. So it looks like most of the folks, I want to wait until probably 2 minutes past or 3 minutes past. Let them join, folks that are joining late to join, and then we will continue on. Again, this will be about a half hour, and then plus or minus the Q&A. And again, thank you all for joining. I'm going to share the results of this, of your filling in the poll here. And as you can see, nobody from operations or plant management is on. More than half food safety and quality, food sanitation, a few others. So those are the, at least those of you that answered. So, you know, a quick look at that, and we will start the webinar here. A few more people just joined. So I'm going to start now. So my name is Steve Fleeter. I'm with IFC. IFC is a division of Rollins. You probably know Rollins if you've heard the name Orkin. And IFC is a division of Rollins. We work exclusively in the food processing area. And today what we'll talk about is bioremediation solutions using chlorine dioxide in food processing facilities. So when you look at food safety, sanitation practices, you know, the US prevalence of recalls and micro issues, you know, primary issues where there's a need for chlorine dioxide fumigation. We'll talk about the chlorine dioxide itself and then talk about the services that IFC offers. So when we look at sanitation practices in food plants, what are we doing? We're trying to keep foreign materials out of our products, which includes undeclared allergens, you know, foreign materials, and of course, microorganisms. And microorganisms, you know, anything such as bacteria, virus, yeasts, and molds, and pathogens, as we know, are microorganisms that cause a human or animal disease. Listeria is the most common. You know, other pathogens may be a problem, including bacteria such as Salmonella, E. coli, various yeasts and molds, along with a long list of other less common microbes. And commercial food processing plants are continually washing and cleaning to eliminate and remove microorganisms from the environment. Hygienic zoning, zone 1 through 4. We know zone 1s and zone 2s are the high-risk areas, both food contact and zone 2 is not directly food contact, but adjacent to. So those are the areas where you're doing most of your swabbing, most of your sanitizing on a daily basis to eliminate any microbial threats. And zone 3s and zone 4s are still a risk, but a lower risk. Non-food contact surfaces, you know, adjacent to zone 2s or zone, such as floors, drains. And zone 4s would be hallways, offices, cafeteria, break rooms. And zone 3s and 4s are where typically looking at cleaning, you know, janitorial cleaning, typical cleaning done in offices, bathrooms, and common areas. So it's really zone one and zone two, which is our high risk areas and concern when we're looking for and trying to eliminate microbial issues. So if you look at Listeria, we know Listeria is the number one cause of microbial issues in a food processing plant. About 48 million people get sick every year from a foodborne disease, and that's in the US. About 128,000 hospitalized, and a number of them die. Listeria is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. There's only one pathogenic form of Listeria, but we don't care if it's Listeria of any species. We want to get rid of it. A temperature concern about Listeria does survive freezing. It grows slowly above 134 and heat will kill it, but you can't heat up an entire plant to kill it. So there needs to be some other means of getting rid of it. And Listeria, like any other pathogen, as far as human susceptibility, weakened immune systems, pregnant, newborns, older folks. And again, in the food industry, it is the number one cause of microbial issues in food plants, and it is the number two cause of all recalls. You can see to this chart to the left, undeclared allergens is the number one cause of recalls, followed by Listeria, followed by foreign materials, and then to a lesser extent, Salmonella and E. coli. And this is all 2019 CDC data. So why do plants struggle with this? Well, you're always looking to sanitize, but do you need to sterilize? You have hygienic design gaps in a lot of the equipment, things such as hollow legs, sandwich joints. You have a weak pathogen monitoring program. Are there biofilms that have built up, you know, the microscopic, you know, bacterial buildup, that gooey mass that is microscopic, it builds up on equipment, or recontamination due to, you know, poor hygienic zoning or controls. A number of reasons why why some plants struggle with being able to eliminate microbial threats. So when do you consider chlorine dioxide? Well, you consider a chlorine dioxide approach when your routine sanitation methods are not giving you your desired results. And that's consistently mean you're finding presumptives, means you're consistently finding presumptive hits in zone one and or zone two. And so there's two approaches with chlorine dioxide. There's fogging and there's fumigation. So fogging will minimize and prevent future outbreaks, and typically a routine treatment, such as monthly or quarterly. Fumigations is when you need to take that extra step to confirm you've sterilized the environment, to confirm you have a clean break and you've definitely eliminated all pathogen threats. So fumigations are typically once and done. Foggings are typically routine. When you look at chlorine dioxide, it does destroy biofilms, Listeria, Salmonella, any microbial life. Microbes can't build up any resistance. It actually destroys the DNA. There's very few material compatibility concerns, and plant operations can resume immediately. So we always get asked the questions, do we have to do a post-cleaning after an application? You don't. It degrades to essentially oxygen after we aerate the space. So there's no post-cleaning required after a treatment. So what is it? Well, it's registered by EPA as a sterilant. And the definition of a sterilant, it can completely eliminate all microbial life forms. And what that means is a six log kill, or what you'll read as a 99.9999% reduction of microbes in the environment. It's often applied as a real gas when you're fumigating. It does fill the entire treatment equally. It's the selective oxidant, which means it needs to address and attack some form of organic matter to be used. It is a visible yellow-green gas, and it does have an odor like chlorine. However, very important to know, it is not chlorine gas. It is not associated with chlorine gas. It's not poisonous or carcinogenic, not explosive. And there's no chlorine gas used whatsoever in the generation of the chlorine dioxide in our processes. There are some other companies that do use a mixture of chlorine gas and another gas to create the chlorine dioxide gas. There's about 13 or 14 different chemical reactions to create chlorine dioxide. But I want to reiterate again, there is no chlorine gas used at all in the IFC generation methods. And again, no post-application cleaning needed. And it's compatible with all metals, plastics, electronics in the food plant, an exception being unpainted mild steel that is likely already rusted if there's any unpainted mild steel there, such as some paint that's chipped off a motor casing or perhaps a small connector that is just regular steel. But again, if it's in the processing area, it's likely already has a little bit of rust. What it would look like if you could see into the treatment area, and this is through a window in a treatment we did recently, within 30 minutes, you have a light green. And then within about 2 hours, it gets to a very dark green. So that is, and again, it is not poisonous, not a carcinogen. It does have some toxicity. It's a mucous membranes. So of course, you don't want to be in the area while it's there. You can't. But that's what it would look like if you could see into the treatment area. So what do we do routinely? So let's talk about how it's applied. So first of all, sanitizing. Sanitizing is what you're doing every day to minimize your risk of contamination. When you fog, as we mentioned earlier, the fogging is to disinfect, and this will eliminate most contamination risks. And this is why this is done routinely, because it's not definitively eliminating every risk, but most of them it will eliminate. And then when you fumigate, that's when you need to confirm a clean break, and it defines that you have eliminated all microbial contaminants in the treatment area. So there's fog versus fumigate, and we'll talk about the difference of how they're applied in a few minutes. When you look at the gas fumigation versus the fogging, the treatment focus for gas is to sterilize to get that clean break, and it's to disinfect. Remember, we said disinfect will eliminate most, but not necessarily all microbial threats. The fumigation is a once and done. Fogging is typically monthly or quarterly. As far as sealing the area, that's sealing it to contain the gas. You need to seal the entire treatment area for a fumigation to hold the gas and allow it to get up to sufficient concentration to do its job. When you do a fogging, there is no sealing required. The application time is going to be 8 hours for a fumigation plus the time it takes to seal the area. And for fogging, you're looking at 4 hours total start to finish. And the fumigations is, from a cost perspective, would be more expensive than fogging. But in both cases, you can return to operations immediately upon the area being aerated and the gas concentrations at or below the OSHA safety level. And there's no residue and no post-cleaning required in either case. So how do you determine the clean break? Right, with fumigation, you're looking about sterilizing, defining a clean break. And so what we do is use spore strips. So a spore is a dormant microbe with a hard outer shell. And viruses or any other microbes, Listeria, Salmonella, E. coli, any other microbe, yeast and molds, much more easily killed than a spore. We use a spore strip developed by Crosstex. These are designed specifically for chlorine dioxide sterilization. They are hung inside the treatment area. They are incubated post-treatment. And after the treatment is done and they are incubated, if there is no growth, that determines if there was in fact that six log kill. So no growth means you got a six log kill, you've sterilized the environment. And spore strips are used in healthcare, pharmaceuticals, and other industries to prove a treatment area or equipment has been sterilized. In our case, we hang these in the treatment area and they are incubated post treatment to confirm that six log kill. And again, this is for the fumigation, which is specifically that clean break and the once and done approach with chlorine dioxide. So one of the questions we often get asked is, well, what about biofilms? Does it destroy biofilms? So we partnered with Montana State University, their Center for Biofilm Engineering. They grew a log 8 biofilm, about 100 million cells, and that is a much more significant biofilm that you would ever find on a routinely clean piece of equipment. And they provided 250 parts per million for 4 hours. So it's 1,000 part per million hours. It's just the parts, the concentration times time. And they found no detectable life. So that confirmed clearly that was actually a log 8 kill. And our typical CD fumigations are somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 part per million hours. So we're very confident in actually having done some testing of this, that biofilms will in fact be completely destroyed. Talk about material compatibility. This was a study done by the EPA in July of 2011. And they tested various different elements to determine if, you know, what the corrosion potential was. Chlorine dioxide had the lesser potential for corrosion than bleach, than hydrogen peroxide or peracetic acid, and less than ozone. And as an example here, when we talk about compatibility, stainless steel, we provided, so this is 900,000 ppm hours. Remember, we talked about a typical CD fumigation between being between 1,500 and 2,000. So we hit the stainless steel with 900,000 part per million hours, took a high definition before and after of a piece of stainless steel, and there was no difference. So there's, you know, zero corrosion, no difference. We also did a more typical fumigation level with unpainted mild steel, see, 1,664 part per million hours. Pre-treatment, it was a piece of shiny steel. Afterwards, there was a little bit of rust. So that is the only place you would see any sort of corrosion, and that's only if the relative humidity is above 70%. But we wanted to show what that would look like. And when we do the work, we put down what we call a corrosion coupon. We use 8 different metals, regular stainless, food grade stainless, copper, brass, zinc, aluminum, galvanized steel, unpainted mild steel. And a high definition picture is taken before and after. And the only time you would see any difference in any of these metals is going to be on unpainted mild steel. And again, only if 70% relative humidity or higher. So from a material compatibility standpoint, there's nothing to be concerned about. Plastics, rubbers, electronics, they're all fine. There's no degradation at all with a chlorine dioxide fumigation. Environmental factors and efficacy. Humidity is always best for microbial destruction, which is the opposite of insects. As far as light goes, UV light will increase the decomposition of chlorine dioxide, but LED lighting is fine. LED lighting has some UV light, but very little and not a concern. And we'd say it's always best to have the lights off if possible. And temperature, as long as you're above 5 degrees C or 41 degrees Fahrenheit, you're fine as far as the... And someone raised their hand. I cannot see that chat for the hand raise. If you would, on the Q&A section, if you could just fill out your question there, I'll see it, and then I can answer it for everybody. So I do see there is a question. I want to make sure I can answer that. So look for that Q&A button and type your question in there, and I'll be able to answer it. So IFC's chlorine dioxide application services and options. Let's spend a few minutes so we can finish up here as far as how we provide these services. So from a fogging perspective, it's a routine treatment, as we talked about, to prevent and minimize microbial threats. It won't prove that 6 log kill, but it will definitely minimize and prevent a lot of the concerns. It's any size area. It does not require sealing or plant evacuation. It can be completed in 3 to 4 hours. And it's much less costly than a full fumigation. Again, most often it is, in fact, a routine service. Small to medium-sized applications we would define as piping or tented equipment or even process rooms up to 300,000 cubic feet. And these could be, again, foggings or fumigations. Or we could do partial or entire processing plants. So we're talking plants up to, you know, 5-6 million cubic feet or larger. We recently did a plant that was 18 million cubic feet. But most typically, you're going to find there's individual process areas that require the treatment and not an entire plant. We also provide a liquid floor and drain decon solution. This is a 200 part per million liquid that is applied to the floor. Within 30 minutes, you'll get a complete disinfection and elimination of all life on the floor and drains. This is often done in conjunction with a fumigation treatment, just as one extra step in eliminating microbial threats. Some examples: spiral freezers, notorious for harboring pathogens, conveyor belts, wall seams, drains, cooling coils. And so these are often good locations to consider a routine fogging when the problems get to a point, or should problems get to a point where you're unable to completely eliminate, that's when you would likely want to fumigate, you know, the gas fumigation of a spiral freezer. And so one question just came up, I'll answer. Does this do anything for stored product pests? So it does not kill stored product pests. We've done a lot of testing, and Profume and some of these other, Vapona, these other types of gases are for insects. There is actually no fumigant that works on both insects and microbes. So the best you'll get out of it is you might be able to kill adults, but only some adults, so no. The short answer is it is not used for elimination of stored product pests. So I'm hoping that answers the question. And if follow up on that, please let me know. Let's talk about advantages of CD treatments. Fumigation treatment does provide that clean break, that six log kill. It is an EPA-registered sterilant. So EPA-registered chlorine dioxide as a sterilant, I think it was back in 1988. There's no residue. There's no post-treatment cleaning necessary. Microbes cannot build up resistance because it destroys the DNA, and it does destroy all biofilms and any size application, and is not corrosive other than what I showed you on that, that piece of unpainted mild steel. So the recap. And then we'll take some questions here. From electrical cabinets up to an entire plant, new construction. After you finish new construction, we see a number of customers that want to do a fumigation and confirm that there's no microbes left when they decide to go into operation. And when you have unresolved microbial contamination problems, and you have the fogging gas and liquid floor wash options, again, routine foggings are used to prevent and reduce microbial problems, and you're able to kill most microbial contaminants, but this is typically routine. You do not have to seal, you do not have to evacuate the plant, and it's less costly than fumigations. Fumigations are designed to be a once and done treatment and will sterilize the environment and achieve that clean break, that six log kill. So I'm gonna leave my contact information up here and take some questions. So again, if you would, there's a Q&A button. If you would just ask questions there, I can answer the questions for you. So we do have some popping up. So how is a product applied to a pressurized cylinder or a liquid product with fogging equipment? So good question. So for fogging, let's talk about fogging first. For fogging, it is a liquid chlorine dioxide solution, typically at about 500 part per million, and it's just chlorine dioxide gas dissolved in water. And that is for fogging. And a fogging, as you may know, is a very tiny water droplet, you know, between 1 and 10 microns. So that is what a fogging is. The fumigation is when you're applying a gas. So it is not a pressurized cylinder. You cannot pressurize chlorine dioxide. You have to generate it on site. So when I said not explosive when fumigating, that is true. We fumigated about 200 to 250 parts per million, but it is generated in a number of different methods, electrolytically. You can mix chemicals together and create it, but you have to create it on site. You cannot pressurize a cylinder. At 150,000 part per million, it actually would be explosive, which is why you cannot pressurize a cylinder. So it's generated on site. It is blown in through fumigation hoses. And that's how we deliver the gas. So the gas is generated on site electrolytically or other. There are other methods that are used. It is not cylinderized. And that is for the fumigation, the gassing. And the fogging is what we talk about doing more frequently. And that is, in fact, a very small mist. The gas, side of a chlorine dioxide gas molecule is in the range of picometers. When you look at the fogging, you're looking at, you know, 1 to 10 microns, about 100 times larger than the molecule. So the molecule on the gas is why we know we can prove that 6 log kill every time. So I hope that answers the question for you. Is there a post copy of this presentation? Yes. So the presentation will be available on the website that you registered on. If you have any, and this is, I can say first names here. So Nate, if you have any questions afterwards, my email here, my phone number is below. So please write that down. And I'm happy to just send this directly to you if you want me to send me an email or send me a text with your email address. For anybody on the call, I'm happy to send this deck directly to them. There are some other appendix slides that I can talk about in a sec here, but this was the main part of the discussion. Do we subcontract work out? You have a small fogging business for over 20 using chlorine dioxide with a variety of different foggers. So yeah, for the fogging, we do this ourselves. And so no, we don't. And so the IFC has about 150 technicians nationwide. We do provide the services ourselves. So it looks like, AJ, you're saying you have a small fogging business and they're using chlorine dioxide and there are a variety of different foggers. So when we do the work, we do it directly, but we do not sub that work out. There were some questions here worth, actually another. So one question, you know, you look at efficacy. I thought I'd just share this briefly with everybody. See if more questions pop up in the meantime. So again, this is the deck. So if you want the deck, it'll show this. This is PhD scientific references available. This is PhD level research, shows different types of microbes and the part per million in time and what the log kill recorded was. Anthrax, by the way, you may or may not know that in 2001, when there was that anthrax issues with the government, that it was chlorine dioxide that was used in those buildings to eradicate the anthrax. And those were spores. Remember, we talked about spores being tougher to kill, but these were anthrax spores, and they were, in fact, killed with the chlorine dioxide. One other, we talked a little bit about this, show you real quick, as far as the, asked about the fogging versus fumigation. So here you're looking at different types of fogging and chlorine dioxide being much less corrosive than parasitic acid or hydrogen peroxide. It's really a dry fog or a droplet between 1 and 10 microns. Chlorine dioxide gas is in the level of picometers. So if a fog is 1 to 10 microns, a picometer is, see this here, 0.000124 micrometers. So a lot smaller, cover surface area of any microbe much better. So I just thought I'd share that real quickly. So I think that is it, unless there are more questions. I do appreciate you all joining the webinar. And again, I'll leave this slide up with my contact information in the lower right. Should you have any questions, I'd encourage you to contact me via my email below or the phone number. And again, that is my cell phone, so feel free to text. So with that, I promise it will be about a half hour. It's actually been 30 minutes, so we can conclude. And I want to thank you all very much for attending the webinar. I wish you all the best. Happy Thanksgiving. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to me directly. Thank you so much and have a good rest of your day.